Welcome to The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Saturday, October the 9th, 2021. On this edition of The Politocrat, today is the birthday of John Lennon. And had he been alive today, he would be 81 years of age. A little bit about John Lennon on this edition of The Politocrat, coming up right after this. Give me some truth, John Lennon. Yeah, you know, he would have been 81 years of age today. Thank you very much for being here with me on this episode of The Politocrat, dear listener. Your listening ear is always welcome. And John Lennon, I wanted to talk about him today, as it would have been his 81st birthday today. It is his 81st birthday. He is just not with us to enjoy that birthday, unfortunately, because, of course, of that horrible act just over 40 years ago now. In fact, you know, we're almost at the 41-year mark of that horrible event that happened on December the 8th of 1980, where, well, look, you know what happened. It's just a horrible thing. And it happens so often all over this planet where people's lives are ended due to gun violence. And John Lennon's was yet another of those lives. And his loss is still being felt, as are so many losses across the world that we do not even ever know about and will never know about. John Lennon touched the lives of so many millions of people across the planet. In fact, I think he was the most famous and the favorite Beatle of all. I know some people say Paul. I think John is, as far as I'm concerned, personally my favorite of the four Beatles. And I think he had the best solo career of all the Beatles, even though Paul McCartney enjoys one to this very day that has been very good, thank you very much. I've seen him live in concert as well. And look, Paul McCartney's churned out excellent music since his departure from the Beatles in 1970. Look, but I think that the best solo career of all of the Beatles belonged to John Lennon. And I liked his collaboration with his wife Yoko and the Plastic Ono Band. And the period of years that, you know, 11 years, spanning 11 years, his solo career from 1970 to 1980, 11 year span, that is 11 years, not 10, if you count. Some people insist that that's a 10 year span. That's 11 years. If you count that, that's 11 years. 1970 to 1980 is 11 years. Figure that one out and you'll figure the streets out, said Scott Glenn in the film Training Day. But in a career solo-wise that spanned 11 years, John Lennon did some remarkable, great music. He really did. I loved his collaborations with Elton John, particularly I think that was my favorite collaborations that he did. Elton John in the, I think, 1972, 73, or maybe a little bit late. Maybe it was 74, 75, 76. At Madison Square Garden with Whatever Gets You Through the Night, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I really liked the live singing of those two songs, particularly Whatever Gets You Through the Night. Just great stuff. Elton John and John Lennon, they were very close. They were good friends, the two of them. And Elton John has long talked about how John Lennon was like a brother to him. He felt very close to him. Really good friends. I think they also did a song together called One Day at a Time, and that was featured on Elton John's Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy album from 1976 or 7. I have the album. I should know what year. I mean, I play the album all the time. I should know what year it was. But the point is that there's a great track on there, and it's Elton John with John Lennon. And it is called One Day at a Time. And I won't try to sing it, but it goes like kind of like this. One day at a time is all we do. One day at a time is good for you. And then they sing this kind of, I don't want to say falsetto, but they go into this rhythmic higher pitch. And It sounds like John Lennon is on the song, singing it, but he's doing backing vocal, I think. But he's not singing primary vocal, as far as I know. At least I don't think he is. I'll get totally punked if it is all Elton John, because I should know better than this. I'm a huge Elton John fan. I know pretty much every song he's done. Well, not every single song, but I'm a massive fan of Elton John, so I should know this. But I think that John Lennon did do backing vocal, and you can tell by the cadence of the song that John Lennon had a certain measure of influence in there. But I'd have to speak to Elton John and ask him, or maybe I will get totally punked and realize that it was actually Elton John's song all along by himself. But there's traces of influence of John Lennon on Elton John, even though they're contemporaries. Elton John did a song on his album, it's an album he did in the early 90s. I can't believe I'm forgetting the title of that. But incredibly enough, I am forgetting the title of that. I claim to be a big fan of Elton John, and I can't tell you the title. Oh, Sleeping With the Past. I did not look it up. Sleeping With the Past is the album. And this is the album in 1990, or just before 1990, or thereabouts, where Elton John was literally going through drug rehab, a lot of it. He had had his drug addiction issues from the 70s through the 90s and was really struggling with it and was trying to break free. And so he was writing a lot about his drug addiction. And so Sleeping With the Past is one of those albums where he really bares his soul, among other, well, all his albums he's done that. But in that album in particular, there's several tracks that deal with drug use. One of them is called Blue Avenue. And he talks about, I've got to kick this habit. It's like some drug for you. You've been my sweet, sweet addict. I've been your little white boy blue. And that is him being completely autobiographical about himself. And then he writes about it also in his autobiography called Me, which was released, I think, in 2020 or 2019. And Elton John speaks extensively about it there. But the reason I bring up Elton John here is that there's a song on the Sleeping With the Past album that Elton John did where he sounds exactly like John Lennon. And the song track is called Stones Throw From Hurting. And if you listen to that track, Stones Throw From Hurting, you will hear what sounds very much like John Lennon. And this is 1990 or thereabouts, 10 years after John Lennon is no longer with us. Now, again, I am not exactly sure the exact release date of that album. I think it was 1990-91-ish, maybe 1989. I forget the exact release date, but the release year. But it was around there somewhere. And that song, Stones Throw From Hurting, it sounds just like John Lennon. I would have sworn it was. So I think there's kind of, maybe there's a, the soul of John Lennon exists in someone like Elton John, and they were very close, as far as I know, and really good friends, and you could tell that they really worked together well. So that's one of my favorite collaborations, and it's only, I think, one reason is because I'm such a big Elton John fan. I think that the John Lennon collaboration with him, it was terrific. But I want to talk more about John Lennon himself. John Lennon became a political activist, really, in the 1970s, in the 1960s as well. But by and large, his political awakening, I think, began after he left the Beatles in 1970. And it was at that time, I think, that John Lennon really clued into the world around him beyond the Beatles. Because, of course, for 6 or 7 years, that group was together 7 years, from 64 through 70. And I think in October of 1970, if I remember correctly, that was when the group disbanded. They were only together 7 years, if you include 64 through 70. They were together 7 years. So it was a very short time, but they created so much music. I mean, so many songs in a 7 year stretch. But it was literally, once you saw John Lennon step out from the Beatles, he engaged with the world around him in ways that he really couldn't have when he was with the Beatles. And so he became a very, for those of you who do not know this, and for you, dear listener, if you are aware of all this, then please indulge me for a few minutes as I talk about it, because there are people who may not be aware of this, who may be listening to this particular episode, and I thank you all for doing so. And John Lennon was very politically active after he left the Beatles, and his soulmate, Yoko Ono, was too. And they both set about this course of making music that was designed to, I think, tweak the conscience of people listening to it. I remember there was a documentary, I think it was called either The U.S. versus John Lennon or The People versus John Lennon. I think it was The U.S. versus John Lennon. And it was a documentary, something that was done a few years back. And there are these clips of John Lennon saying, look, I'm not one of these mop heads anymore. I'm not in the Beatles anymore. I'm not one of these mop heads anymore. This is me. This is really me. This is who I am. This is what I believe in. I believe in justice for everybody. I believe in the end of racism. I want the end of racism, and I want the end of white male dominance, and I want the end of oppression of women. And this was John Lennon speaking in the early 1970s. And there were all kinds of things. The FBI was tracking John Lennon. I mean, that's all factual. They had a big, thick file on John Lennon. Seriously. John Lennon was anti-war, as was Yoko Ono. They both were pacifists. They both believed in an end to wars all across the planet. They believed in nuclear disarmament. They believed in all of those things. They believed in love. They, of course, remember the famous bed-in, that went on for a week or a couple of weeks or a month. I forget how many days and weeks it went on for. That was a famous thing, happened in New York, I believe it was. Or where it could have been in Paris as well, actually. It might have been Paris. I don't even remember. I mean, I just remember it happening because I remember old enough to remember that. But I just don't remember where it was, whether it was New York or Paris. It was one of those two cities. It wasn't London. It might have been London too. One of those three cities. But the point is that they did this because they wanted to promote world peace, and it was, some people thought it was a publicity stunt, but they said they were doing it because they really wanted to, I think, if I remember correctly, project innocence and caring and love and the importance of love and connection and to protest the war in Vietnam. And they were very active. They were very active in tweaking the con. Listen, you have to understand, people today talk about, oh, I don't want celebrities saying anything. They should stick to their day jobs. They should stay in their lane. Ugh. And that's just so silly. That kind of attitude reveals a real lack of knowledge of history around you. And as I keep saying, James Baldwin has always and always did say this, if you don't know what's gone on before you, you do not know what's going on around you. And to hear people going, well, oh, these entertainers should stay in their lanes. Oh, please. Politics affects every single one of us. And that includes celebrities. And this country and others, particularly the United States, has had a long history of celebrities as activists. Oh my God, come on. Paul Robeson, Jackie Robinson, Joan Baez. I'm like, come on, Ellen Burstyn. I can go on and on. Bob Dylan, Pete Seeger. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on and on and on and on to the break of dawn. I can go on and on with all the, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Muhammad Ali, I mean, Sidney Poitier, Harry Belafonte, oh, goodness, Marlon Brando, Leonard Bernstein. I will be here for 5 days, literally. It's been a long tradition in the United States of celebrities or professional athletes, musicians, whomever, with a long history of activism. And that included John Lennon and Yoko Ono. Very much so. Very passionately activists. And always had been. Yoko Ono continues to be an activist to this very day. And her husband was very much active in New York, as was she, politically active. Found themselves in court, I believe, at a court case, tax case, whatever case it was. There were things going on, FBI tracking them. John Lennon became a huge force in New York and in politics. Not that he ran for office. I don't think he believed in that at all. He did not want to run for any office. He made it clear on songs like Give Me Some Truth just how dangerous and how vexing a minefield politics would be to actually enter that arena. Because his take on politics was a lot more, I don't think it was cynical. I just think it was, he was just telling it the way it was, the way it is. And I mean, I gosh, if John Lennon could see Boris Johnson now, geez, Lord of mercy, he would have a right go at Boris Johnson if he could, if he was here. Oh my God. And you know, the guy that left the White House 9 months ago, oh my God. John Lennon, definitely someone who really became a larger-than-life figure after he left the Beatles. He was already a larger-than-life figure when he was in the Beatles, but forget it. Once he left and went solo, oh my gosh, the sky was the limit. Well, maybe the sky was the sky. And then John Lennon was John Lennon. Hello there, Omar Moore here, and if you haven't shopped at the Politocrat Daily Podcast store, you know, you must do so. Where have you been? The store's been open for a while now, and you can go to the-politocrat.myshopify.com and buy what you see at the store. New merchandise is being added, and I assure you, you will not be disappointed. Just ask the customers who have purchased an item or two or more from the store, the Politocrat Daily Podcast online store. Many satisfied customers, so you can be one too. Join in and buy right now at the-politocrat.myshopify.com. Thank you. I don't know if you think that sounds like John Lennon, but it is in fact not John Lennon, it's Elton John. And that is what I was referring to, a brief snippet of the song Stones Throw from Hurtin'. That is off the Sleeping With the Past album. I was describing to that in the first block, describing that to you, excuse me, in the first block of this particular episode of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. Thank you very much indeed for your listenership, dear listener. You are valued, respected, and treasured by yours truly. I really do respect you and your time, and I try not to waste it, and I do appreciate you for stopping by and lending your ear. It's greatly, you are greatly valued by yours truly, by me. I value you, and I really do. I mean, it's not only it's not just because you're listening to the voice you're hearing right now, my voice. It's because you invest your time, and that means so much to me. Because you could be doing a million other things that I'm sure are much more interesting and more important, but you've chosen to spend part of your time, part of your life, part of your day listening to this podcast and listening to yours truly. So I do thank you for that very much. Now, I just play that clip, you know, just as a teaser for you. Please listen to that song. It's off the Sleeping With the Past album, Elton John's album, from back around 1990 or so, 1989, 1990, blah, blah, blah. It's around there somewhere. And so you've got to listen to that whole song. And that, to me, that clip there even sounds a little bit like John Lennon. Now, you may agree or you may not agree. But I do think that there is something to that. And I would love to ask Elton John about this. If that particular song, was that an intentional thing or was it whatever? I don't know. I would like to ask him about his relationship with John Lennon. Because he's talked about it in the past, how he saw John Lennon as a real, as a brother to him, a dear brother and a dear friend. And you could tell if you do listen to songs like One Day at a Time, and if you do listen to songs like Whatever Gets You Through the Night, All Right, It's All Right. Now, I know I am not going to embarrass myself, dear listener, but I am free to do so because I've done it before, and I will. I probably have just done it again, but look, there you go. You have to listen to these songs. Again, these are songs that I just love these songs. So there's the selfishness about it for me. But maybe you like these songs as well. Hopefully you do. But Sleeping with the Past is an album that was, again, it was around maybe 1990, 1989, 1991, wherever. But I have the album, and if you don't, make sure you listen to it on the appropriate platforms, or, you know, buy it, go outright, buy it, or stream it, download it, whatever. Listen to that song. That should make that your first song, Stone's Throw from Hurtin'. And it's on YouTube as well. I'm sure you can listen to the whole thing on YouTube. I know you can. And I really do think that John Lennon sounds like, excuse me, Elton John sounds like John Lennon there. And again, that was just a few years, less than 10 years after John Lennon was murdered. He was murdered, right in front of his building, really, in the Dakota building. It's just so horrible. I mean, everybody knows where they were when they heard about John Lennon being killed. And it was just awful. I totally remember where I was. I mean, it was just horrible, you know, the whole thing. Anyway, but John Lennon, wrote so many songs in a solo career that spanned, as I said, 11 years. And he, voluminous, I think one of the most famous albums, which actually is, best of my knowledge, was released posthumously, was the Double Fantasy album. That was, I think, a double album. And it was he and Yoko on the front cover. And that album just sold a gazillion copies. This was before Michael Jackson's Thriller. Now, you have to remember, those of you of a certain age, I'm sure you do remember this, that those of you who are not of a certain age, you probably don't remember this, is that Thriller came out in 1982. And that became the biggest selling album in history and remains that to this very day, Michael Jackson's Thriller. But in 1980, the Double Fantasy album, John Lennon and Yoko Ono, that thing went through the roof before Thriller did. But Thriller eclipsed it by a good distance just a couple of years later. But that Double Fantasy album, which was, if I remember correctly, was released posthumously, just sold so many copies. You have to understand that people, and again, if you're not of a certain age, you will not appreciate this as much. But you have to understand, when John Lennon left us and he was murdered brutally, there were so many people who wanted to be close to him. And so they flocked, a lot of them, many of them from all over the world, flocked to Central Park and to what would eventually be called Strawberry Fields, where, you know, the Imagine fountain or the Imagine symbol was and still is. I took some pictures of that a few years ago in New York. And they wanted to be there. They sat there, they lit candles, they said prayers, they left tributes. I mean, it was such an emotional, heartfelt pouring of love, outpouring for John Lennon. So much love for him in Central Park. And because he lived there, he was one of us. He was one of the New Yorkers. And, you know, he was a Liverpool lad, grew up in Liverpool, born in Liverpool, raised in Liverpool, a true Merseysider, Scouser, you know. And he became a New Yorker and was, if you remember the pictures, of the shirt that he wore that said New York City on it. And those shirts sold out like gold. I mean, well, gold doesn't sell out, but you know what I mean. It was hot off the presses because John Lennon had worn that T-shirt, the white T-shirt that had the black lettering that said New York and underneath City. And it was just, and it had the blue trim on the arms of the t-shirt. And you know the t-shirt I'm referring to. It's such an iconic t-shirt. And iconic, really, because John Lennon wore it. That's really why it was an iconic t-shirt. And it still remains that way. And the picture of John Lennon with, I think, the shades on. And, you know, the hair, the shades. And then that white t-shirt that said New York City on it. The New York across the top and then right underneath it, the word city. It was such an iconic shirt. And so you can look that up on online and you will just look up that shirt. Just go John Lennon, New York City t-shirt and you will see it. The pictures. It's just great. It's great. It's great stuff. So John Lennon was an icon in New York. He was an icon across the globe and around the world. And he really did become someone who was a real ambassador to peace and justice and his activism efforts. Even though the FBI was tailing him and making life a misery for him in a great many instances, you know, taking him to court or having him in court, hauling him in, all these kinds of things, to the best of my memory, John Lennon, though, endured. He endured. And so John Lennon, I mean, this day would be 81. I can't believe 81 years of age. I mean, that's, once you get into your 80s, you've lived, man. You've really lived. I think you have. You know, I'm not 81, but I hope to be. Knock on some wood here. I mean, if you get to 81, you've done something right. Seriously, you've done something right. And I wish that John Lennon had been able to get to 81. Unfortunately, he did not. Elton John and John Lennon, One Day at a Time. And I mentioned this earlier in the first block of this episode of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. And thank you so very much, dear listener, for joining me for this one. And this is the day that Elton John, I'm sorry, that oh dear. This is the day that John Lennon would have turned 81. October 9th. 1940 was his date of birth, was John Lennon. He's no longer with us. And you know why and how that happened. And it's so horrible. And gun violence happens every day across this planet. And it is horrible. Every single incident is. And especially those who don't come back, who, you know, they don't get wounded. They are killed. John Lennon was one of those. And again, on this particular day, he would have turned 81. It is his birthday today, October 9th. And I did mention this in the first block, One Day at a Time, which, again, I wasn't sure exactly what year had come out. I said 72. I think it's actually 1974. It was on the Elton John album, Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy. Do listen to that album. I think it's one of Elton John's very best albums. It's one of his three best albums ever, in my view. And Elton John has done a crap load of albums. He started in 67. I think Empty Sky was his first album. And 67 to 69. And he has just gone ever since. And he's just kept trucking on, Elton. And God bless him. You know, I just love him. A big fan of his. And I met him on a couple of occasions, been to not a trillion concerts. I wish it were. I've been to a number of concerts of his. And look, you know, one other thing, you know, of course, he used to be the chairman of Watford Football Club. And of course, Watford, as you may know, are a football club in England, in the Premier League currently. And I am a huge fan of theirs. But anyway, that's neither here nor there about Watford FC. I do a whole podcast on Watford FC, by the way, at YouOrns, YouOrns, Y-O-U, and then the second word is O-R-N-S. You can search that, actually, on Spotify, Apple, Google. And if you want to listen to me dissecting sports from Watford perspectives, from a Watford perspective, from my perspective on Watford, you're free to do so. But this podcast is The Politocrat, and I do thank you, dear listener, for listening. And one day at a time, the piece that you just heard there is off the Elton John album, Captain Fantastic, and The Brown Dirt Cowboy. I wanted to say that again because I love the title of that album. There's also another album Elton John did that I really love the title of, Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player. That came out, I think, a couple of years after Captain Fantastic. And it's just another great album, too. A lot of great music on there. If you're an Elton John fan, even if you're not, you know, it's really great stuff. And so the point of me rambling here, the point I want to get to on One Day at a Time, that piece you just heard from the song, is that John Lennon is indeed doing vocal on that. He's doing the backing vocal. And as I said earlier, I thought so. You know, I haven't listened to the song in a long time. But I do play the album. I just hadn't played that particular song for a long time. But that album and that song, One Day at a Time, you may have recognized John Lennon's voice in there when they do the singing the duet, singing the kind of, I won't say falsetto, but that piece is really great. And you can hear John Lennon's voice in there in the backing vocal. And so there you go. You know, Elton John and John Lennon were quite close friends. And so the loss took, hit Elton really hard. It hit all of us really hard. And, you know, I couldn't believe when I heard that John Lennon had passed. You know, I couldn't believe. He didn't pass. He was murdered. And so I just couldn't believe it. Everybody, we were all of us were in a state of disbelief all across this planet. Someone taken from us, from the planet for such a short, he was on the earth for such a short period of time, you know. And so that, you know, was heartbreaking. And the activism from John Lennon was robust. He was constantly speaking truth to power in the 70s. He never stopped and was unabashed about it in ways that you wouldn't see too many celebrities today. There are one or two today who are, but too few, or I should say too many are not. And they're all looking over their shoulder to see what their PR person's going to say to them. Looking over their shoulder at their PR person to see if the person who their PR person is wagging a finger at them vigorously saying, no, 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 no. Don't say it. Don't even think about saying it. That's the state of activism today with some celebrities. But there are some people who are as vocal and as passionate and as clear as John Lennon was when he was here with us and doing the activism that he did, speaking truth to power. And in, hey, John Lennon spoke truth to power, and he spoke in the face of power and in its face. That's what John Lennon did. And one of the reasons I think John Lennon was surveilled, I should say, by the FBI was because he was unabashed about it. And John Lennon didn't pose any threat. He wasn't doing anything violent. The guy was very convicted about his beliefs. And he stood up for what he believed in. And he definitely was a friend to the working class. I mean, look at his song, Working Class Hero. A working class hero is something to be. I mean, John Lennon, all his songs were just rooted in this deep truth. Particularly, again, when he left the Beatles. It seemed like there was a completely different human being who came away from that experience of the Beatles. And the Beatles, to me, was all about fun and games and, you know, daydreaming and saying a lot of things, some of which were important, but most of which were kind of very much poppy and surfacey. And then this other part of John Lennon just leapt out after 1970, after October of that year. I think that was the date, the month in which the Beatles disbanded, if I remember correctly. I may be off a little bit. Excuse the barking dog. The dog does not belong to me, if you can hear it in the background. But the point is that John Lennon, a whole other being jumped out of him, another part of him that we didn't know, at least I didn't know, and he became a very committed activist. And I thought that was really good and refreshing. And he really cared about people. And his music reflected it too. If you listen to the albums, you listen to Double Fantasy, you listen to the music he did before that. And as I say, the song Gimme Some Truth, which you heard a little bit of earlier, I mean, it just sums it up. And he did all kinds of... He did a song that I don't like the title of, and you know the song I'm talking about. And I'm not going to say the full title of it. Woman is the... of the world, right? That was one of the songs he did, which I am not a fan of. And I think John Lennon thinks he's making a point there. But he uses racist words to make a point. And you don't have to do that. But anyway, that's my take on that. But aside from that song, and I don't think of any other songs that he's done that in or he did that in, John Lennon was a global activist, someone who really believed in peace. He believed in world peace. I mean, look, listen to the song. All we are saying is give peace a chance, right? With the Plastic Ono Band, right? That was one of his songs, he and Yoko Ono. All we are saying is give peace a chance. So that was one of the songs. And of course, one of the other songs that I love from... I don't think this... Actually, this was on... This may have been on the Double Fantasy album. I did it? I don't even remember if it was. Maybe not. But there were some several songs that John Lennon did with Yoko. I believe one of them is called Dream Number 9. And I think that was on the... Double Fantasy album. I'll have to find out because I just don't remember. So again, it's funny because this album was released 40 plus years ago, and yet I am not sure if it was. Was it? I don't know. Is it Dream Number 9? I think it is Dream Number 9. But I will find out what the name of this song is. But John Lennon did do a song with the title number, with the title 9 in it. So anyway, I will track that one down. But John Lennon did so many good songs and so many resonant songs after the Beatles. And it was just remarkable. I mean, the level and the engagement and the activism. It's just, we really did lose one of the great treasures. We really did. Someone, I don't know what he would have done or what he could have done, but we'll never know. All I know is he was very impactful, and he'll be sorely missed. John Lennon there with Number 9 Dream. I said Dream Number 9, but close enough, right? It's Number 9 Dream. John Lennon there. And that tune, I think, was on Double Fantasy. Not 100%, but on that one, but I think it was John Lennon there with Number 9 Dream. It's a heavenly song. You know, there's something very ethereal about that song. And you hear the voice of Yoko Ono in there whispering, and just, it's, I don't think it's as sensual a song as you might think. I mean, I don't think it's that sensual. It to me conjures up a sense of vision and imagination, but I don't think the song's sensual, even though I hear that really, I think rather, I don't know, the word sexy is probably not appropriate. I mean, well, it's an appropriate thing to say, but I don't get the her voice, Yoko Ono's voice in this song as it is rendered is sexy per se. But maybe it is sensual. Maybe it is sensual. And that can be sexy. I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm just trying to categorize it as clearly as I can without completely looping people and sending them to sleep. But you hear the song. When you've heard Number 9, I think many people, I would assume, I shouldn't assume anything because it makes an ass out of you and me. And I think that Number 9 Dream is a song you've got to listen to. And if you're not familiar with it, plug your ears into it, won't you? You know, dial it up, bring it up online, stream, you know, whatever the other platforms are, stick it in your ear and listen to it. I'm going to actually do that because I've not listened to that song in a long time either. I only played a glimpse of it just there. But there is that quality, and he's kind of singing as if he's far away, John. And then you hear Yoko's voice come in there, and she's whispering, John. You know, I can't do it. You know, it's just a disservice to me to butcher it. But you've got to listen to that song. It's another, again, some of the great stuff he did. I think he did, the stuff he did after the Beatles was absolutely electric for me. Again, I know some people go, what, really? I mean, Abbey Road is the best Beatles album as far as I'm concerned. I know some people will say the White Album. Some people will say Sgt. Pepper. Some people will say Rubber Soul. Some people will say Revolver. I mean, there's a million Beatles albums, right? For me, the best album that the Beatles did was Abbey Road. I really do think so. I think it showed you the best of their quality, their creativity, their spontaneity, and their ad lib, and the way they would just let records play and let the tune just play. I love that. You know, Sun King and Her Majesty and Polythene Pam and Because and Here Comes the Sun, I think, is on there. Jeez, there's so many. I think Maxwell Silver Hammer is on there. I just remember, these are off my top of my head. I'm not looking at the album. I'm just thinking about these tracks. But these are all great tracks, and there's some I haven't even mentioned. You know? Here Comes Her Majesty, I think it's the full title of the song. But anyway, those are the Beatles. That's the Abbey Road. But John Lennon, there's so many really good tracks he did solo. His solo career just opened up a whole new world. And I think he was more at peace in that career that he had solo. I think in as great as he was as a songwriter with his buddy there, Paul Lennon. Oh, gosh. Paul McCartney. I think that in some ways I felt he was probably a little bit more restrained and constrained with the Beatles. And then when he said adios, a vida's end to the Beatles in 1970, I think he just found freedom. And I think he would admit that. He found a certain sense of freedom and openness, and he could just be himself and not be one of the four mop hairs or the four mop heads that he talked about and referred to. I'm not a mop head anymore, you know. That's what he had said, in words to that effect, after he left the Beatles. So, John Lennon, oh my gosh, I could talk about John Lennon forever. He still has a tremendous impact, and a lot of the things he said in the song still impact me today. You know, I do quote him, not as much as James Baldwin, though, because James Baldwin is absolutely the master. But I do quote John Lennon, especially from the song Give Me Some Truth, because I do think that song is so on target, and John Lennon in some ways was ahead of his time. Once he left the Beatles, I think he really did show you who he really was as a person, and that he really did care, and he wasn't some plastic pop object, if you will, that he really did have some substance and have a whole independence and identity to him that was undeniable, unmistakable. And I do quite frankly think Yoko Ono brought that out of him. I think that Yoko Ono gave him space to be confident. I think she injected him with confidence, actually. I get the feeling that John Lennon was rather shy, even though you may not think so. That's my take, and I've not read this anywhere. It's my view of John Lennon. I think that he really didn't really speak up until, again, after he left the Beatles, and then he found room to do that. But I think that Yoko Ono was very important to that. I think Yoko Ono was critical to his development as a person outside of the Beatles. And once he said goodbye to the Beatles, I think she really did help him to bring himself really open to talking about politics, being part of the group of people in the world who cared about people and did not care for war or anything like that. John Lennon was a fiercely anti-war activist, absolutely anti-war, was definitely in demonstration. I mean, he cared about you, you know, he cared about the working person, about the commoner. He cared. And, you know, that's what I'll miss about him. And it's not so much the Beatles and how excellent the songwriting was. Of course it was. You know? But to me, it was John Lennon's whole personality and his identity and his stand for things. You know, that's what I'll miss most about John Lennon. And it's so sad that he's not here on his 81st birthday. Happy birthday, John. Be well and rest in power. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.